Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
During this pandemic, Jackson State University has made bold and necessary steps to protect our student athletes. In hopes to get our fans back in the stands, we ask for our Tiger family support. You can donate today to the COVID-19 Athletic Relief Fund. Your donation will assist in the funding of financial support for student athletes, recruiting, and loss of revenue due to the COVID-19 pandemic. Thank you for all contributions, and remember, lead be blue.
Donate at gojsutigers.com/give.
Fourth and two. Final play of the game if they can't convert.
And they bobbled
the snap, still trying to stay on his feet, and Harper trying to make something happen. Gets the throw, and Dini Bowie somehow finds his way in the end zone.
The way to keep hustling.
Bobbled snap by Jones.
Missed tackle. He gets outside of the pocket. I don't see anybody down the field.
Salazar, and this is the all-important extra point. Remember, he did miss one earlier tonight. This one to take it to double overtime. It's good.
Wow.
And Jay, something out of nothing in that last play. Jalen Jones bobbles the snap, but Keyshawn Harper saves it.
Keyshawn Harper might have saved Jackson State's season. I mean, just nowhere to go. He realized he's going to get tackled. Bowie was there. I'm open. And not only makes the completion for the first down, but gets into the end zone.
The presence of mind from your junior running back to try to extend that play and create something on fourth down.
This touchdown is brought to you by Canon Nissan. Nobody gets a Canon deal. Nobody.
Tiger fans, welcome to the official Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club podcast, bringing you all the latest news, updates, and buzz surrounding your mighty JSU Tigers. I am the Corey C. Be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast to be notified of every new episode. Apple Podcast users, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. It all helps the cause, which is the I love, Jackson State University. Hosting today's show are Charles Bishop and Neely.
Welcome to another episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. And, of course, I always bring back in my right-hand man, my man on the right, Neely. Welcome back in, brother.
Chuck B., how you making it this week, man? You had a good one?
Had a good one, man. You know, coming down off the high from our homecoming last week.
Yeah, the first ever virtual homecoming, and I think it was yesterday. You know, it was a great Saturday show, lots of good feedback from the conversation mm-hmm. we had. And, you know, I meant to call you Statman when we came up because that's what Big Truck calls me now.
Exactly.
It's been a good 7 days, man. It's been a good 7 days.
Right. I got another nickname, man, I tell you. But, you know, we take a look at this episode of this week. We would have been taking on the Prairie View A&M Panthers, always a tough, tough foe. You know, Neely, I took a look at that game last year. It was a Thursday night ESPN game. The lights were on Jackson State. And I tell you what, man, it was a double overtime thriller as the Tigers were able to pull that one out 38-35.
You know, that was huge. That was a big game for us, you know, and for the programmer, for the SWAC. You know, as you look at, you know, a year ago, and we were down there in Prairie View, and for that to be a nationally televised game, you know, and I think about even going forward, potentially how many more games that we're going to have on national TV audience. And it was that rare Thursday night game for football, and an even rarer thing for HBCU and SWAC football, and to have it go into double overtime and to have a Tiger prevail, that was just a good look for the brand, for both parties, for the conference as a whole, and kudos for ESPN for showing that game.
No doubt about it. And if you will, Neely, that was kind of the coming out game for Jalen Jones, Jackson State's quarterback. He took over in the latter part of that game and led them to victory. You know, and who could forget the first overtime, the bobble snap. Keyshawn Harper picks it up. He finds Dede Bowie, and they were able to tie the game up and send it into a second overtime. Just a tremendously exciting game.
And one thing about that play, man, just the recovery of that snap. And then the drive that it takes to stand there and take that hit that was coming to get that pass off. You know, that were three or four, you know, Panthers coming dead at him, and he had to stand there at the last second to get rid of the ball. And man, that was one of those times where I know the fans who were there remember being there, and it's one of those games, if you're watching on TV, you remember watching. Because here's, you know, those quasi new college overtime rules taking place, and it's a HBCU SWAC football on ESPN, and it's getting late, and you're wondering when this game is going to end, and then you have a play like that with all those moving parts, you know, in the same drive to have a score, it certainly left an impression on the audience.
No doubt about it. And you know, today is a special episode. You know, we're going to come to you from the visiting locker room, if you will, in terms of our special guest. A young man who is going to bring a tremendous energy to the episode. He's a former Mendenhall Tiger and current Cleveland Brown, former Prairie View Panther, Kadarius Hodge. Welcome to Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club.
Yo, what's good? What's good? Glad to be here, man. How y'all been?
Man,
doing well, bro.
You know, Chuck, I got to tell you now, you know, you can have a mama and you can have a daddy. It's always mama house and it's always where mama from. And so my mama from Simpson County. And so Big Red, right here, you know, that's my home. I might have been born and raised in Jackson, but I spent weekends, spring, big summers, Christmas break, you name it, down in Simpson County. So I know him as Big Red. This, you know, this is something special, man. We are in the visitors locker room today. You know, we normally do
exactly
these shows,
and
it's Jackson State based. But here we are in Prairie View's locker room talking to a Simpson County Prairie View SWAC and HBCU legend. And it's just great to have you on, Big Red. How you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just home, man. Not too long got from practice, man. Just trying to enjoy this Cleveland weather while I got it for the next couple weeks.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
No doubt about it. Who may not be
familiar with where he is right now, he is a wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns. That's why he said he's in, you know, getting ready to judge his Cleveland weather, but I know that weather going to change on you in a minute. It won't be long. And so, man, you know, this has been an interesting year. I could only imagine for you, you know, having to now have a COVID season. What was the difference, you know, going into this year, preparation-wise, and even as the season has got underway with four games under your belt now, what were some of the key differences in getting ready and even playing these games?
For starters, man, the offseason. I mean, we didn't get to have an OTA, and that's where you really get familiar with, like, the quarterbacks and the offense. And we have a new coaching staff, and having to do that stuff virtually was kind of like, it was kind of tough because you couldn't really get a feel for it like you would on the field. But like I said, like the off season was different for sure, having to go virtual from like May all the way up until training camp. And even training camp was different, man. They got us separated. Everybody has to wear masks, of course. And they even split the locker rooms up. They got half of the team in another part of the building and us in another half of the building, man. It's like everything is different. Like, we can't live together and everything. So it's something we had to adjust to, and we're still adjusting to as players. And I think the worst part is just the fans. You know, like some teams have fans and some teams don't. But, like, when we played Baltimore the first game, they had no fans. And, man, it was basically a scrimmage. So I was like, dang, like, you can hear everybody talking out there. So it was like, it's real different. But I don't think it's probably going to be the new norm. So it's something we have to adjust to.
No doubt about it. Jackson State podcast, and I definitely got to ask, you know, what was it like being a kid from Mississippi going against Jackson State?
Oh, I had it out for Jackson State for sure. Jackson State would not recruit. I don't know why, but they would not recruit me at all. I'm like, bro, I'm like right here. Like, I would have probably chose Jackson State overall, because that's where, like, a lot of my family members support Jackson State. Like, I used to go to their games and everything. Like, and I'm like, bro, like, why are they not recruiting me? I don't understand. Like, they really, like, overlooking me. I never understood that. So whenever I played them, I got to go crazy. And whenever I did, I don't know. I had a couple touchdowns against them boys, but I don't think I did enough. But I was kind of pissed off about that for sure.
Yeah, nothing like having that chip on your shoulder, that motivation, man. And I can tell you, as a JSU guy, you know, you sit there in the stands and you're watching the game, and there's some guy just, you know, like you said, just going off, and you flip over the program like, man, where is this dude from? And you look and see that he was right there in your backyard, and he killing you. Like, man, how did we let him get away? Like, what are we doing?
Like, are you serious? I don't know who his head coach doing, but it was like, bro. I even took visits there. I'm like, I'm going up there with the players, and they still was like, no. And you know, Coach Allen was like on our coaching staff as well, and he was telling them, he was telling them about me, but they never pulled a car. He was confused. I was like, man, forget it.
Well, all's well that ends well, brother. Glad you made it. And like we said, this is, you know, Chuck, historically speaking, once upon a time, we didn't get excited about the Prairie View game because they were in a long, rough hole.
Yeah, man. I heard. Man.
And with the leadership of a AD who we happen to know. Facility upgrades and investing in quality coaches. You know, that Prairie View program, and I'm you know, glad to hear that story of how you got there, because I never knew the background of it. And so let me ask you this, Big Red. You know, you're in the NFL now, from Mississippi, from the SWAC, from Prairie View, and we've had, you know, this political and social justice unrest this summer while y'all were training virtually. And you're one of the first guys I saw, you know, wearing a vote T-shirt in the NFL, you know, doing warm-ups. Like, so I know you've been involved. But what has it been like this season coming from an HBCU, with everything that's going on in the world, and you're in the NFL and with players who come from these quote-unquote bigger schools, but you're right there side-by-side with them and having accomplished that from the HBCU, from the swag. Does that give you another chip on the shoulder, a little more swag, a little more bouncy and stuff? How does that feel?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I rep the swag wherever I go. Like, even in the locker room, they're going to hear me yell out swag, or they're going to hear me yell out TV, so they're going to know where Kadera from for sure. Like, I don't care what school you went to, I'm going to rep PV. I'm going to say PV better. I'm going to say SWAC better than SEC. I'm going to rep SWAC, whatever. So I keep that chip on my shoulder. You know, I'm proud about where I come from and where I've been. So I'm going to let them know for sure.
No doubt about it. Now, you know, Neely, I wanted to do like you and take one of those 30,000-foot views of talking to Kadera. Man, talk to us about this circuitous route that you took to the NFL. I mean, you go from playing in the Simpson County Super Bowl, and for those unfamiliar, that's Mendenhall and McGee, one of the fiercest rivalries in the state of Mississippi, to actually playing in the Super Bowl. But just kind of give us some background on how you go from Mendenhall High to you start out at Alcorn, then you go to Hines Community College, and you end up at Prairie View. But just kind of talk a little bit about that process.
Oh, man, that was a long process, I could say. But, you know, like he said, I started a quarterback in high school from sophomore year to senior year. I ended up having some good years, but, of course, I continued to get overlooked. I don't know why. I was like, I think I came out like second All-State or something like that, and still had like one or two offers coming out. I think like Ole Miss and Mississippi State, like they came to the house and they actually like said they would only offer me if I wanted to play receiver or DB. And I'm like, bro, I ain't never played that in my life. I'm not about to go there and look crazy. So I denied that, and I was like, I was stuck on quarterback. So I ended up going to I ended up signing with Alcorn, and I went there for my freshman year. I redshirted, and we actually had a good season there. I was playing quarterback there my first year. I got in one game, but it didn't count. I think we played some Edward Waters or something, and I ran for a touchdown. I'm like, I ain't really think it counted because the team was trash. But after that.
So, that's the big red I know right there.
After that, man, I decided to redshirt the rest of the year. And we were playing spring ball, and I was having a good spring at Alcorn. And dude, like, you know, you got to stay off the quarterback. And defensive end came in and broke my thumb. They hit my hand and broke my thumb. So I'm like, dang. So now I really thought, like, Alcorn was too much for me. I was coming out of high school. I was undisciplined, partying a lot, wasn't really focused on my grades. So I had to make a decision. And I said I had to get out of there, because if I didn't, then I felt like I was gonna fall into the Alcorn lifestyle. So I left Alcorn, man. And I went to junior college at Hines for a semester. So didn't play a snap right now. I didn't play a snap on offense or special teams. That's when I made my first transition to receiver. First time playing receiver in my life. So I didn't know how to get off the line or whatever, man. I'm getting jammed or everything. I'm looking bad. So I didn't get in at all. Like, I'm like, dang, like I just left a D1 school to come JUCO thinking I was going to do better. And I ended up, like, making the wrong decision. And now I'm like, man, I'm lost. Like, I ain't got nothing to fall back on right now. So I'm thinking about, man, just get this little education and start looking for a job. But I had started to pray about it, man, and I don't know how it happened, but that's when Coach Simmons, he was the quarterback coach at Alcorn while I was there. And I ain't have nothing to fall back on it. And out of nowhere, like, he called me and was like, who looking at you? I'm like, nobody. Absolutely nobody. He was like, you want to call me? I'm like, yeah. I ain't asked where he was going or nothing. I'm like, yeah. Like, where you going? I'm going with you. And he said, he was like, yeah, I'm the head coach at Prairie View now. And I'm like, I ain't know what Prairie View. I never heard of Prairie View. I've never been to the campus. I didn't take a visit or anything. I was like, bet, I'm fine. So that was a blessing from him. He ended up signing me to a full scholarship there. And I played my first year receiver, and I had a pretty good receiver coach, Coach Moore. And he just took me on his wing, and I just started working and working, and I got better and better, and I started to see and feel the growth. And year by year, I continued to do better until, like, injury came up and it knocked me out a couple games. But I could say fast forward to my senior year when I had a pretty good year. I stayed healthy really the whole season. We started out slow. We had to make an adjustment at quarterback. I probably, like, going into half of the season, I probably had, like, I think I had one touchdown. And, like, the rest of it, I had, like, I ended up with, like, 12 with, like, probably, like, 1,000. 12 touchdowns, like, 1,000 yards. And I was, like, going crazy every game. And that's how I got the PV, man. That was probably, I can say, by far the best 3 years of my life just off the – What I've done there and how it changed me and how I grew as a man and of course the lifestyle, you know, we partied a little bit, did our thing. I enjoyed all that, man. So yeah, PV, I rep PV everywhere I go for sure.
Let me ask this question. And you mentioned having that chip on your shoulder, and that's something that a lot of guys from the SWAC, from HBCUs, they talk about having that chip on their shoulder. You know, what does having that chip do in terms of propelling you to fight through, you know, maybe not even getting drafted, but to continue to grind and continue to push?
Having that chip, that's just another way of just saying, just keeping that edge. You know, you always, like, having that chip is like, I'm never impressed with what I've done. Like, I always think I could do better, and I always know I could do better. Like, if I feel like somebody did something good, I feel like I can do it better than them. Like, anything they do, like, this playing with Odell, like, he go crazy, I feel like I can do that. Like, anything he do, I feel like I can do better. Like, that's my mindset with anything, him or Jarvis. And they know that, like, they know, like, I'm not there to settle for nothing. I'm not there to settle for less. So I'm pushing them while they pushing me. So they know, like, we got a complete receiver room where it's competitive, and I'm not going to back down from no competition. Like, nothing is given, and I want them to know that. So having that chip on the shoulder is just like being, like, my motto is, like, underrated, but I'm overlooked at the same time. And that's been, like, my whole life, like, I've been underrated and overlooked. So until I get that, and when I do blow up and get that, I still have that edge, and that's just what I go by.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Swag, baby. Because, I mean, you know, here you are, you know, you started your high school career out, made a name for yourself as a quarterback. Now you're a receiver in the NFL, catching balls from a quarterback from Oklahoma, lined up with your co-receivers, you know, out of LSU, and more than holding your own, proudly competing and representing the SWAC. And I can tell you, man, that we are, even as Jacksonians, even as Tigers, we are proud to see what you're out there doing, because mm-hmm. This is about the SWAC. This is about HBCUs. You know, we have our rivalries, and I love to see people who love their school as much as I love mine. But it's one of those things where we may talk about each other, but we don't let nobody else talk about us. Mm-hmm. And so when to see guys like you out there, man, repping the SWAC and repping it against guys from Power 5 and SEC schools and doing it, you know, man, the Mississippi, the South, Simpson County, the whole SWAC, we just couldn't be proud of you, man, and love your attitude. And I tell you what, Chuck, because I know mm-hmm. some folks may not know him and follow him on social media, but the whenever he decides 10, 15 years from now, he's like, I'm out of my records in the record book, and you know, I'm a wait on that Hall of Fame call. When I tell you that this dude has a future in Hollywood or on that stage, he's one of the funniest cats, man, you're gonna ever come across. It's like TikTok was made for him. Like, it's like this Instagram was made for him. Like, so, you know, how is that Big Red, how's that spirit and personality come across with your teammates in the locker room? I know when it's time for business, it's time for business. But personality-wise, you know, do you still have that infectious spirit and you know, people gravitate towards you leadership-wise because of that personality?
Yeah, I think that's a good thing about me. I think I'm a people person, and you always need that locker room guy that's going to ease everybody, you know. Everybody won't be so uptight. You need somebody that's going to joke around and know when to get serious and when to be loose and just joke around. So I feel like we as a team, we play around a lot, especially as the receiver room. Like, we all joke around and have fun. And I think that's the part of the game you don't want to lose that. Because you get too serious and you get too uptight, then you start playing fidgety and all that, and you start thinking too much. So the looser you are, the more comfortable you are, the more you're going to have fun and the better you're going to play.
Mm-hmm.
No doubt that's about right. It. You know, Kadarius, one of the things, Jackson State, of course, they hired Coach Prime, Deion Sanders. And one of the things that, you know, Neil, we've talked about on this podcast is, you know, the tremendous things that he, you know, has plans for Jackson State. But we've talked a little bit about how it has an even bigger effect in terms of not just Jackson State, but HBCU football as a whole. And, Kadarius, I wanted to ask, you know, what do you think Coach Prime brings to the HBCU stratosphere?
Oh, man, that was big. Like, as a SWAC alum, that was big. I don't care, like, what school he went to, like, but that was big, and I support that. Like, I really think he's going to, like, bring a lot of eyes and a lot of attention to SWAC players because we tend to get overlooked. Like, the SWAC is full of talent. I say that every year. Like, it's full of talent, but for those guys, like, we don't get as much media attention and we don't get as much notoriety because we're from the SWAC, and they look at the Power Five schools and think those guys are just the best athletes in the world because they get so much TV time. But having Coach Prime at Jackson State, man, I think they're going to air a lot of games on ESPN, and the SWAC can really be on this level, how many athletes we have and how much talent we have, like, in the SWAC. Because I know a lot of players that should be in the league, and I play with a lot of, and I've played against or played with a lot of players from Power Five schools that I'm like, is he really, you see, I ain't want to be like, what? But I'm like, is he really, like, in it, did he really get off in the SEC? Like, how is he that good in college? Like, and I'm looking at, I'm like, no way, like, he's nowhere near better than me. Or some players I know, like, that was in the SWAC that I played with or played against. So I think that's going to bring a lot of that's probably the best thing that happened to us in a long time, man. And I think it's going to start, like, he's going to start a trend where more people will come, like, bigger name players, coaches, five-star high school players or four-star, whatever. Bigger name players will start coming. That's what we need.
Yeah, well said, man. No doubt. I agree with you. I think, you know, that old saying, a rising tide lifts all boats, you know. So if you got a boat in the water and the lake fill up, all the boats going to go up. And I think the ripple effect, you know, Chuck and I talk all the time, Red, that, you know, as these JSU games are on TV, the opponent is also on TV. And so it's a selling point even for our sister schools that, hey, you know, because let's face it, you know, scholarships are capped. Everybody can't go to the same school. You know, and so and so you get that restoration of power spread out because now, well, if I can't go to JSU, then I know I can go to Prairie View, I can go to Grambling, I can go to Texas Southern, you name it, or even, you know, MEAC schools, et cetera, because the whole brand is going to grow, you know, because of this. And that's why, Chuck, you know, being in this visitor's locker room today, you know, is just also a testament to that even as a JSU podcast, that the relationships that we can have and forge with our other institutions, you know, that grow us all are just good things to be a part of. And you know, don't get me wrong now. I want to win every game, you know, but I want to see the players from our other schools go on to do well. Now, I got one bone to pick, Chuck, with Big Red. I got one bone.
Go for it.
Did you have to drop almost 50 on the Cowboys, man?
Man, we had it out. I was so mad I didn't get to play them boys. Like, I just felt like I was going to have a good game. Like, they done drew some plays up for me and then all of a sudden go down. Like, I kind of knew we was going to have a big day on offense because their defense been giving up a lot of points the whole season. But we knew, like, I don't know how they do it, but they've been, like, that second-half team, and they just started scoring in, like, the last few minutes and started going crazy. So we knew we had to hold our own, but we definitely had to drop 50 or have 100 on them boys for respect. They're going to put some respect in my name soon.
Oh, yes, sir. That was a statement game there.
Neely, you beat me to the punch on that because I sure was going to ask the same. Sitting around watching that happen to my Cowboys. So.
Now, something got mentioned that I don't want us to gloss over. Now, I know tomorrow you got the Colts, and we don't want to give away the rest of the season. But I think I heard Big Red say that they had designed some plays with him in mind.
Right.
A receiver throw a pass, throw a touchdown pass? I know you can't answer, but I'm looking forward to seeing this new look Cleveland with maybe two quarterbacks in the backfield. Like they know you got an arm in Cleveland, huh?
You know I'm out there throwing everywhere. They gonna know I got something. I'm throwing it.
So Kadarius, what you're saying is that Jarvis Landry for a pass to Odell Beckham, that could have been you.
No, they had them. They've been working on that. That was their play. Like we knew, like
okay.
He said he was gonna call that. That was their play. They've been working on that since training camp. So we knew that was coming. And Coach Stefanski said, I think he put that play in the top 15. We was gonna run that play regardless. So that was their play.
Well, I tell you what, you might have knew you were gonna run it, but my Cowboy show did.
No doubt about it. So, you know, as we kind of come to a close on this podcast, Kadarius, and you've been tremendous in terms of giving us insight in terms of your college career, your pro career. But I just kind of wanted to ask in terms of you had just such a route getting to the NFL. And I wanted to ask before you left, you know, do you think NFL GMs are, I don't know how to put this, are they kind of, I guess, put off from the fact that, you know, taking a look at a HBCU player versus maybe a Power 5 player, that they tend to shy away from the HBCU players? Because you kind of touched on it that there's still a lot of talent in terms of HBCU players, but do you think sometimes they kind of tend to gravitate toward the Power 5 guy?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like, that's for sure. Like, they're gonna gravitate towards who they heard about the most. And we're not on ESPN. You're not going to see us on ESPN 10 times a year. So if they see somebody from LSU on ESPN every Saturday, then – if just like what happened with how they canceled all the pro days, and that's who they're going to draft, and that's who they heard about, and that's who they've been seeing on TV, and that's who they've been seeing go against the number 5 ranked team in the nation, number 10. So they're going to assume that he's better because he's went against better competition supposedly. So yeah, that's what until they actually, like, see us perform on pro day or work us out as individuals, like, that's when they notice. They'll be like, man, this guy is really talented. How do we overlook him? And that's why so many smaller school guys go undrafted, but we have, like, longer careers than those higher-drafted guys because we know how to work and we've been overlooked. We're not spoiled. You know, nothing is given to us. So we're going to wait our turn. We're going to grind it out. You know what I'm saying? So I definitely think a lot of GMs overlook us because of media, really.
Wow, man, that's a great point. I never really looked at it that way, that, you know, some of the guys, because you're right, the time that they last longer in the league compared to people, you know, have kind of had some things gift-wrapped to them. That's pretty deep there, brother. I got one final one to talk to you about before we let you go. You know, you come from Simpson County, come from Mendenhall, and you mentioned, you know, Chucky Allen, who's the head coach at Mendenhall, and, you know, his son, Christian Allen, has now signed with and is at Jackson State. But, you know, a couple years ago, I happened to be there when you sent a jersey back to Mendenhall signed for Christian Allen. with a little motivational note on it. It was when you, you know, with your Rams, your Super Bowl year. What does it mean to you to be from Simpson County and to reach back and give and try to motivate those younger guys on what they can accomplish, you know, off of your blueprint? What does it mean for you to be able to do that?
Man, it means a lot, even to have people like Christian looking up to me. Like, I know what I mean to the county, and I know, like, the younger kids are looking up to me. So I try to lead by example the best way I can, even if it's on social media or just me, like, going back to the county and trying to just talk to kids. I'll pull over, man. If I see kids on the side of the road just hooping or something, I'll pull over and talk to them and just start hooping with them. I really just want to show them, man, if you really just put your mind to something, man, you can beat the odds. You can make it out. Like, I know, like, a lot of us, I tell them every time I go home, like, you are bigger than the county, bro. Like, don't let anyone, like, limit you to your talents. Like, you don't necessarily got to go play football or any sport, man. Go be a lawyer. Go be something big. Like, don't limit yourself. Like, man, just go out there and do it. Like, risk it all. Like, don't risk something. Like, you still young. Like, you got time to bounce back from something. Don't think, like, you can't be, like, I tell them, like, every time I go home, you can't be halfway in and halfway out. Like, if you're going to do something, commit your full self to something. That's where you're going to get the best results. So, me and Rank, man, whenever me and Rank, we trying to get home at the same time. And, you know, PJ was in the, I think he's still playing right now, too. So, whenever we're home at the same time and we try to go talk to, like, either either the high school, junior high, elementary, whoever, man, we try to go touch as many lives as we can because we know what it takes to get to the point. Like, a lot of people told me, like, you'll never be in the NFL. Like, come on, now, ain't nobody looking at a kid from Mendenhall. Who looking at a kid from Simpson County? Then I go from Mendenhall to HBCU. Who looking at a kid from HBCU? Like, he just went there to play. He gonna be back at the house. He gonna have another job. He just gonna be another say-so. So that's something I always carry with me, and I always say, like, I'm gonna prove people wrong, and I always tell them, man, like, let that be your fire when people say, like, you can't do this and you can't do that, because that's what should push you. Like, prove to them and prove to yourself, like, that, man, my goals are limitless. Like, I can do anything, man. So whenever I go home, man, I just try to touch as many lives as I can.
Man, no good stuff. Just that's great commentary there, man. Just do me one favor. Get out you a little pen and paper and just write down March 27th. Because this game that was going to be played today, it got pushed back to the spring. And I need you and Jackson to catch this L. That's what I need.
Y'all definitely not going to win, man. I don't see it, but I'm gonna probably be there at the game. So you'll probably see me. I'm gonna probably be the loudest on the sideline too. So you gonna hear me too.
Well, we will make sure to have you back on March 27th for the spring matchup. You know, first ever spring ball game. But Big Red, man, it was exciting to have you on. And man, best wishes to you in your career and this season and beyond. You know, we're proud of you from Mississippi, proud of you from Metro Jackson, Simpson County, and representing the SWAC and all the HBCU. So, brother, keep your head about that, man, and keep doing what you do. We pulling for you.
Yes, sir. Appreciate y'all for having me on.
No doubt about it. Well, you know, Neely, coming from the visitors' locker room today, this was another fun episode. So I really appreciate you coming on and providing us such tremendous insight. So for myself, Charles Bishop, Neely, the Super Dope producer himself, the Corey C., and the rest of the gang with Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club, we'll see you on the next episode.
And that'll do it for this episode of Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club. Thank you to all of our listeners. And again, be sure to download and subscribe to the podcast. Apple users, rate and review the show. And everyone, follow Tiger Talk with the 1400 Club on Facebook and Tiger Talk 1400 on Twitter. I can't stress the importance of this enough. We're looking to do some big things with this platform to aid the athletics department, and it all starts with you. downloading, subscribing, rating, and reviewing the show. And tell every Tiger that you know. We're on all podcast outlets, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, and so on. And we'll be posting each episode on our Facebook and Twitter pages. As always, thank you for your support. Go Tigers. Hashtag the I love. Hashtag I believe.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.